Few in our generation today know of the fascinating and dramatic ministry of John Alexander Dewey. Undoubtedly, this man succeeded in shaking the world at the turn of the century. He brought to the forefront of the society the visible Church of the Living God, primarily in the area of divine healing and repentance. John Alexander Dewey was born May 25, 1847, in Edinburgh, Scotland. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. John Murray Dewey, named him what they hoped he would grow up to be, John, meaning by the grace of God, and Alexander, a helper of men. Born in poverty, one would see through the eye of faith to ever believe what was to come in the future of this small child. Although his school attendance was irregular due to frequent illness, young Dewey portrayed brilliance and enthusiasm. At the mere age of 6, young Dewey read the Bible through from cover to cover. Deeply convicted by what he read, he developed an intense hatred for the use of alcoholic beverages. At the tender age of 7, Dewey received his call to ministry. God continually spoke to him. His heart was constantly tugged towards full-time ministry. He realized that there were many truths in the Bible that had been neglected by the clergy of that day. John Alexander Dewey was a reformer and a revivalist. This kind of calling has to see results because of the passion of God that burns so strongly within them. He loved people, but his commitment to the truth caused him to focus only on a group that would respond. As time passed, Dewey continued to have a tossing restlessness in his spirit. He knew he was a man on mission, but he had no idea of how his mission would be accomplished. While pastoring in Newton, a new wrecking plague swept through this region, particularly in the outskirts of Sydney. People were dying at such a high rate that the population was totally paralyzed with fear and dread. Within a few short weeks of his appointment, Dewey had presided over 40 funerals. Sickness and death seemed to be waiting at every corner. The tragedy of it all struck the heart of Dewey to such an extreme that he sought for immediate answers, and he knew those answers were available in God's word. This led him to heal a young girl, Mary. When Dewey got to the mother's house, he turned to Mary's mother and asked why he had sent for him. Learning that she wanted the prayer of faith, Dewey bowed by the girl's bed and cried out to God. Instantly, the girl was still. The mother asked if her daughter was dead, but Dewey replied, "No, she will live. The fever is gone." As believers, we must know that every ministry has a future, but we must believe that the future, or we will never take the first step. Like Dewey, we must determine to hold fast to the word of God and fight for what is ours in earth. Setbacks are always present, but we must determine if the problem is to remain permanent. Even though we are called, we still have to war against spiritual evils that are sent to destroy our vision and discourage us. God's angels can help, but the war for our destiny is a personal responsibility we must win. Dewey was an apostle who didn't have the complete understanding of his office. Knowing his stand, temperament, society asked him to run for parliament. At the first, he opposed the idea, but he later changed his mind, thinking he could possibly influence more in the political arena, and decided to enter the race. But Dewey suffered a sound defeat in the elections. The local newspaper that had been so damaged by his ministry waged an all-out attack against him. We need to understand that God has a central point from which every aspect of our lives operate, whether individually or corporately. That area is called timing. From the operation of that one word, lives can move forward with God or be hindered. Nations can advance spiritually or regress. Life in the spirit realm has a timing, so to it, just as life is natural. Therefore, it is vitally important for us to follow the leading of our spirits. We must learn that it is not always right to move into action because it seems like the right thing to do. The kind of obedience only comes from seasons of prayer and intercession. Dewey finally repented and in 1880 returned to the message of divine healing, with great physical and spiritual blessings coming to him as a result. The gift of the Spirit began to manifest in his life, and revelations abounded like never before. Dewey toured the regions of America and eventually chose to settle in Evanston, outside of Chicago. The Chicago newspaper bitterly attacked him, calling him a false prophet and impostor. They boldly declared that he was not wanted in Chicago. But none of their attacks caused Dewey to flinch. He remained where he had chosen and ministered everywhere he felt led to go. Persecution brought out great resilience in his character. He actually thrived on his persecutor's affliction and interrogated as he was arrested and fined over 100 times. Dewey built a city where he claimed to be Elijah that came back and a high priest. He deemed himself as Zion's general overseer. The rule of the city was to be absolutely in his hands, and problem after problem arose to cleverly divert him from his original ministry. Dewey was spiritually assigned to God by this. Dewey was spiritually assigned by God to the city of Chicago, and he conquered it. While living within that city, he carried out his divine appointment. Principalities and powers could not touch him. But Dewey seemed to have moved out of Chicago through his own desire for power and gave the devil freedom to destroy his life. John Alexander Dewey went down in history as an impostor, yet he was a genius called of God.